Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan. How are you this week?
I'm doing fantastic. It's Wednesday. It's Gamers Inn. It's pretty late, but it's all good. How are you?
It's not late for you. It's late for me.
It's 9:30. It's pretty late.
I guess so. It's pretty late for me, considering I have to work in, 6 hours?
Ooh.
Fun times.
You should just stay up all night.
You know, I thought about that. I was like, you know, if I just, you know, maybe like throw on a movie or a video game or something and just power through, go to work 12 hours, come home and just crash, I'll probably be better off. But then I was like, yeah, but then you'd have to work and no sleep. Unwise, Jocelyn, unwise.
Did you get one of those like pair of glasses that have the eyes painted on and then just sleep at the office?
I don't think I can do that. My job involves, basically, I'm like a telemarketer, but for nurses. So I pretty much have to call and talk to people all day long. So I think they would notice if I wasn't actually doing that.
You could talk to them about video games.
That's true. That would probably be more entertaining. Anyways, so anything new with you before we move on to our first giveaway of the night?
I don't know. Not really.
You're good to go? All right, then. Well, as we mentioned last week, we have a copy of Hero Academy for the PC to give away. So what we decided to do was everyone who signed up for our forums between last episode and this episode. Actually, no, sorry, that's a lie. Everyone who signed up for the forum since we created the forums up until about 9 o'clock Eastern tonight was entered into a draw for Hero Academy. And the winner is, dramatic drum roll, please.
You think you prompt me for a sound effect, I'd jump at the chance.
Anyways, Boba Fetish! Yay! Who's actually not in the chat room right now, so we'll have to send him an email with his new fancy Steam code.
Actually, the way it works is this is the perfect ploy for Ryan to get more friends on Steam, because it's probably easier if I just add him as a friend on Steam, or I can email it to him. I mean, help a brother out, right? I could use more friends.
That's true. Ryan never has friends to play games with. We've been over this so many times.
Yeah.
Speaking of playing games, Ryan, what have you been playing this week?
A lot of similar titles, but one outlier is Happy Action Theater for the Kinect.
Happy Action Theater?
I think that's what it's called. It's a Double Fine game. And it's not really a game. It's more a series of activities. It was on sale a couple months ago for 400 space points. So I was just like, yeah, why not? You know, occasionally Ashley's younger sisters come over and play video games and we order pizza. And it's sort of like this excuse to just stay up all night. And they are into the Kinect. So I figured I'd pick it up and we'd play it. And we booted it up. And at this time, Ashley was napping in the other room, and I didn't know what to expect from this game. And basically what happens is it loads, and then it constantly throws these activities at you. And the activities always involve you on the screen, and you're doing, like, weird things. So, one was, like, fireworks.
So wait, you were doing weird things on screen with Ashley's sisters?
Younger sister. But that probably just made it creepier.
It really, really did.
Yes. Screw you. Also, basically you're on the screen and the first game that pops up is like this fireworks mode. So your fingers are like sparklers. So we're like, you just kind of occasionally like kind of move your hands around and kind of discover the game. And then we actually found out we were having so much fun that we high-fived. And when we high-fived, the game could tell, and it like did like a fireworks display every time you high-fived. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was really cool. And probably the best game we played, the best activity, I should say, was all of a sudden the floor starts to go all steamy. And this is really impressive. The floor goes all steamy and then lava starts to rise out. So instantly, I revert to 8-year-old Ryan, or I guess, well, 15-year-old Ryan. The sister I was playing was 15. And start playing the floor is lava game. So I'm like jumping up on the furniture behind me to try and get out of the lava, and then the lava rises up to the couch, and I'm like, oh my god, and we're like freaking out. There's no point to the game. It's just it's just what you do. And I kind of realized, like, oh, this lava is, like, reacting to, you know, my feet kind of touching it, like, because the couch kind of just barely gets above the lava. And okay. It looks really good. So what do? I jump into the lava. And on screen, you basically see, like, this me just jumping into a pile of lava and, like, lava just going everywhere and steam. And I'm, like, yelling and screaming. And Ashley probably thought I was dying or something. And, well, yeah.
You ever played the lava game? I don't understand.
Yeah, well, I died. And I totally, like, did a Terminator 2 ending where I put my hand up out of the lava and then formed a thumbs up sign.
I've seen that now. I just watched that with Joel, like, 3 days ago.
Oh,
I
good.
Get that reference.
Finally, someone gets that reference. Everyone's been thinking I'm crazy, but it was a lot of fun. And, you know, they actually just announced a sequel. The crappy part
is... Terminator 2?
Sorry?
Nothing.
No.
Being dumb.
Oh, okay. Well, being dumb's half the fun of the Gamers Inn, but it's actually called Happy Action Theater, the sequel. And,
original?
Yeah. I don't know why they chose that. But then again, with such an original title like Happy Action Theater, why lose the fun? but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, we've both been playing this next title, which is Darksiders 2, but I'm playing on the Xbox and you're playing on the PC?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what do you think about it so far? Because I know last time I had played up to the end of the Bringing the Fire Back to the Forge, so that was pretty much like the first dungeon. So you had only played 5 minutes or something, like, and basically booted the game and then came to do the show. So what do you think so far?
I'm really enjoying the game. I've pretty much got to the... I finished the first section of the game. If you haven't got the that far...
Section, yeah.
How far are you?
I beat the fire part, and then I did the drench fort, and then I did the next one. Or I got stuck, actually, sorry, in the next one, which was, like, going to the Lost Temple to revive Construct or something. I think I've done something horribly wrong.
Yeah, I found that dungeon, there was a dungeon in there that kind of got a little confusing. But that's the thing about this game, is that it doesn't really handhold you, and there's a point where it sort of, in that one dungeon where you have to... You think you're supposed to go to a certain part, but really you need to kind of explore the room. I find in a lot of the dungeons, you get into this open area, and Zelda is totally, like, guided. So it says, okay, there's only one door you can get through based on the map, so you go to it. But in Darksiders 2, and this isn't a complaint. This is actually something we wanted. If you guys think back to our Zelda episode, you'll get to this giant open room with many possibilities. Like, you can work towards opening the door on the far end. You can kind of explore the right end where there's this, like, crusher thing, and which is part of the puzzle, but you can't get it working because it's not doesn't have power. So it kind of encourages you to explore the whole room, which takes up time, which would probably frustrate a lot of gamers. But for us, it's like, yes, finally it's encouraging us to explore, right?
Yeah, this is what we want in a puzzle adventure style game. So the part that I got stuck on, and I mean, like, I tried so hard. I went everywhere. I went, like, into the main room, and then you kind of, there's this, like, face that floats off the wall, and it's like a sentry gun kind of thing that shoots a yellow laser beam at you, and then it has, like, two little buddies. So basically, you beat the two little buddies, you beat the guy floating up in the air, and then a little post pops out of the wall. So I climb up the post, and then you can reach another part of the wall that you kind of, like, run around the corner on. And then there's this kind of long, twisty hallway. And then you get to a room that's full of water, and there's a construct on the other side. And there's obviously a bridge that you have to raise somehow. But I have been all over that room twice, and I cannot figure out how to make the bridge go up. I swam all through the water. I even found a hidden treasure chest. No switch anywhere. I tried rolling the construct into the water, but it hits the edge and won't go any further. What else have I tried to do? I think I've been everywhere in the room. I've climbed everything in the room I can possibly climb. Mm-hmm. There's no bombs. So yeah, I'm just kind of stuck. And then you try to go back the way you came, and the part of the wall that you use to run around the corner is too high for you to get to. So basically, you're stuck in that hallway, but there's no switch, and it's just like, okay, so now I'm actually literally stuck. Like, I can't go back to the main room again, which is really frustrating because I'm like, well, if I've come here and I haven't, like, if the switch is on the other side, like, what the heck am I supposed to do? So I ended up fast traveling back out to, shoot, I can't remember where I fast traveled to, but it was pretty far away. And then so I had to run all the way back to the dungeon, go through the dungeon again. So I got back to the room where I beat the floaty head construct thingy with its two little minions. And I went all through that room, and then I couldn't go anywhere there. Like, the only way I could possibly go was down that twisty-turny hallway. So I did it again, got stuck again, and I was just like, I am done.
Yeah, that I think I know what point you're at. That's with the things that have, like, the balls that you roll around on.
Yes.
And you can kind of, like, shoot a chain and use that as, like, a bridge sort of thing.
Yes. So I did the shoot the chain thing, and then you go through a door. But I feel like there was a door on the right-hand side as well that I didn't go through. It was kind of like, do I go to the right or the left? And I chose to shoot the chain and go to the left.
Hmm.
So possibly I should have gone to the right instead.
Sounds like you might, like, revisit it and totally be like, oh, I should go that way. But that's...
So you're further than that, though, now.
Yeah, I've beat the first section of the game.
So is that the, like, you've beat the planet that the makers are on then? Like, you've moved on to a different world, or...?
Yeah, I wouldn't say planets. It's more like, I want to say dimensions. Dimensions.
I totally got the idea that it was, like, different parts of the universe. Like, not different dimensions, but different, like, locations all in the same place.
Oh, I don't know. Basically, you open up a portal, because they kind of explain, like, throughout that the Tree of Life is, like, sort of the beginning to your journey rather than the end. Because they're sort of setting up the Tree of Life as, like, oh, get here and save humanity, but...
Yeah.
It's sort of like just a get here and then you'll have your next path. And I kind of stopped around the first section. The game has definitely got me hooked, and there's some great things about it. Like you had mentioned trying to get through this area and accidentally discovering a treasure chest. As opposed to the first game, those treasure chests feel a lot more important because you're always constantly getting loot.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like the amount of loot in Darksiders 2 so reminds me of Diablo 3. It's like every single creature and every treasure chest drops some kind of something. Like, not just coins, but, like, you know, boots or gloves. So it's like, oh my God, I got this super cool new chest plate shoulder thing or something. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you play with that, you might have one battle, and then you're like, oh my God, I just got something to replace that. Now I look totally different again. And it's just like, holy crap, like the amount of loot is insane.
Yeah, and the great thing about all that loot is that it's super easy. You take your character, you go over to the loot, it presents a bubble that is instant. Okay, is this better? If it's green, equip it. If it's not, just pick it up.
Yeah.
And unlike Diablo, where it's like, oh, I pick up everything, I gotta go back to town and sell it, in this game, you can disenchant it on the fly and, like, feed it to possessed weapons.
Which, when I figured that out, was so awesome. Because I got this axe, and it was like, possessed axe, and I was like, okay, well, that's kind of weird. Is this going to be something that's going to, like, jump out of my bag and just, like, go, like, crazy at me, trying to chop me to bits? And then, so I read about it in, like, all the about page or whatever in the inventory menu, and it was like, feed it other weapons, and I was like, that's so weird. And then I did it, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. And you actually, like, you level up your weapons by destroying all of your crap, basically, which was super cool.
Yeah, and the great part is that you can sell your stuff for coins that allow you to buy new moves, but I found that I was able to pretty much buy all the moves right away. Like, I mean, I'm a little farther than you are, so I was able to buy them all just with gold I'd found. But the great thing about possessed weapons is that once you max out a possessed weapon or find another possessed weapon or a weapon that's just better than it, you can't feed that fully upgraded possessed weapon to another possessed weapon, but you can sell it for like quadruple the value it was before it had any items fed to it. So you're still getting all that value back for those items you've destroyed.
Right.
So it's
which
it's
is awesome because I mean, like, you could just lose them, right? So
yeah,
I think they've done a really good job with the whole loot mechanic in Darksiders 2. I think it's fantastic, and I mean, it's such a change. Like, you played Darksiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, would you agree that it's just, it's almost a completely different game from Darksiders 1?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot about Darksiders, but one thing that really sticks in my mind is just the agile nature of the of death, as opposed to God, or God, I'm thinking God of War, as opposed to War, who is big and bulky. Now, death can appear to be big and bulky, but he's just faster. And I found that the best way to see this is in the Prince of Persia style, like, traversal animations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the fact that the fluidity, like, there's certain points in the game where you're, like, constantly moving, like, you know, running against a wall, grabbing a little peg and propelling yourself further, and then jumping from a to another corner of a wall and continuing that run, and just the fluidity of him just moving around is totally believable because he's a god, right? He's not like, you know, Prince of Persia, who's just a dude, right? It's a lot easier to believe that, oh yeah, he'd be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And just the animations are great. One thing I'll say though is that the voice acting is also really good. Took me a while to get used to death, though.
Yeah, I found the same thing, is that I don't particularly like him. Whenever he talks, it's almost the same problem I had with Mass Effect, is that there's conversation options, and I find everything that I choose, he's such an ass. And I understand that he's, like, one of the horsemen of the apocalypse, and, you know, like, he's this big, important dude. But it's just like, sometimes it's like, you know what? But you're asking them for help. So maybe if you weren't a dick, they might help you. Like, why do you always have to talk like that when the conversation option is literally something like, ask for help. And you're like, help me or die or something, you know? And I'm just like, oh, no.
Yeah. And that's funny, too, because as opposed to in Darksiders 1, like, the guy, he had a little bit of an edge to him, but this guy's super sarcastic. And I don't get me wrong, listeners, I do enjoy the voice acting. He gets a lot better as you get used to his attitude, but he has a way with these characters where it's just, it comes off as, I'm death and I'm better than everybody, but he's still getting assistance from these people. And there comes a point in the story where there is this mutual understanding, because I think he looks down upon these makers, but the further you progress in the game, the more it's like, well, you'll see, you're not that far yet, but there's a point in this section where you see that mutual respect between the two characters, and there's a point where, did you beat the guy who trains you in a sparring match yet?
No, I got close. I just kind of, I gave it a shot once, and then I was like, I got really, really close, and then he beat me, and I was just like, I didn't use all my moves or anything. I was basically just like dodging and then hitting and then dodging and then hitting, and I was like, I don't really know what happens if I do beat him, and if I beat him and then, like, he's no longer the trainer, like, I haven't had a chance to buy all the moves yet, so I'm just not going to do that.
Skyrim has ruined us.
I know.
You know, I, when I first did that, I was like, man, am I going down a path where I kill this dude?
Exactly. I was like, I'm death. I can't fight these guys. If I win, they die.
Yeah, but that I did actually beat him eventually, and it opens up, like, another side quest. Like, you'll find that when in conversation dialogues, if it's, like, purple, then that's, like, a quest or side quest-related discussion.
Right.
So always click on those. But I found that that match was interesting, and the dialogue afterwards is sort of like a, well, I won't spoil it, but it's good. Just a sort of mutual understanding, right? And he's snarky, but he doesn't rub it in. It's weird.
You mean Death or the Maker?
Sorry, Death. Yeah, Death.
Yeah.
He like I said, he's snarky, but he's like, he doesn't really rub it into these people. But the first Maker that you meet, did you recognize his voice?
Yes, I did. And, like, it was funny because Joel wasn't there the first time I met him, but I had that like twinge of like, oh, I know this guy. And then I was like, you meet up with him again, like you go do something, you come back and he starts talking again and he gives you kind of like this whole big history lesson, right? So I was sitting there on the couch listening to it and Joel comes out and he's like, are you watching Game of Thrones? I was like, no. And he's like, that's totally Mormon. I'm like, oh my God. It was. That made me happy.
I couldn't name the character, but I totally recognized the voice. And I was like, you know, I love when that happens, when I recognize a voice actor. And when I used to live with my roommates, they totally thought I'd geek out for voice actors. And I do, because I'd be playing a game. It's like, oh my God, that's the guy who voiced such and such, you know, some random person. It's like, yeah, good for you, Ryan.
Good catch.
Stop watching the credits.
I'm really bad with names, but I'm really, really good with faces. So, like, I can watch a TV show and I'll be like, oh my God, that was that one extra from that one scene on that show 5 years ago. And Joel's like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, get off IMDb.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like, no. It's all in my head. But again, like I say, I'm terrible with names, so.
Yeah, I couldn't name the dude either. I mean, I know, like, the famous voice actors, but usually it's just like, oh, that's the guy who voices Infamous Dude, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. That guy from the stuff. Yeah, that's him. So what else are you playing? You're playing the game we just gave away, looks like, from your notes.
Yeah, Hero Academy, I guess just a quick update, because I don't have really anything new. I sort of covered it last week, but I find that it's sort of switched up my gameplay style, and I think that kind of helps me keep up on my games. Because before, with the iOS stuff, I was just playing as games came in, and I found that it became sort of a chore, so I just stopped doing it altogether. Mm-hmm. But on the PC, I just come home from work, and as a break, I just load it up on Steam, and it takes 15 minutes to get through all my games, and I do it once a day, and it's a really cool way of playing the game, I find. It's a lot easier, and it's a lot faster. So if anyone's hesitant to get back into Hero Academy, I highly suggest the PC game, especially since Boba Fettish has it now. So now you...
Yes, somebody else to play with. I bit the bullet and I bought it, and so now I have it on Steam, and I like it.
You like the Team Fortress team?
I haven't actually had a chance to play with them yet. I always do the random when I start a game, so I don't choose which team I'm playing with, and so it hasn't actually spit out the Team Fortress team for me yet. So,
So what you're saying is after the show, you're just going to start a bunch of random games until you get the Team Fortress guys.
Yes.
Right.
Prepare yourselves. But yeah, I think I'm back up to, I think I've got 7 or 8 games on the go right now. So that's, I think, pretty manageable. I play kind of on my breaks at work and then when I get home, and then usually I try to do it before I go to bed. And if I catch somebody, like I find Chad from the Citadel Cafe is really, really good. And when he sits down to play, he'll go like back and forth with you for 15 or 20 minutes, so you can each get a whole bunch of moves in, and then, but then, you know, we don't play for 24 hours or something. But if you are both sitting down at the same time, he totally will go back and forth for 15 or 20 minutes, which is really fun. So if I get into one of those situations with someone like Chad that I know will play for 15 minutes or so, and then I know that it's going to end, then I'll go move for move back and forth. But otherwise I just go like 2 or 3 times and I'm like, okay, I have to go back to my life. Because, well, I know how much Hero Academy took over back in like February. Oh my God, it was crazy. I was playing all the time. Like I had my ringer turned all the way up so it would wake me up because I was playing with people over in Europe. So they would be like 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd be like, I know that as soon as somebody over there wakes up and they send me a move, I want to send it right back. So it was a bad scene.
That's hardcore. Losing sleep over Hero Academy.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't want to go there again, Ryan.
Well, we'll do our best.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the other thing, Busy Zombie Lord in the chat room has just said no office gaming for me, which is also something that has changed. My job is now very time sensitive. So I don't have time to just, like, you know, take a couple of minutes and shoot back a Hero Academy game like I did in my old job. My new job is very much like, I do it on my lunch hour, or I don't do it at all. So, to wrap up this section, I'm just going to talk quickly about WoW, because I've done some more. I made a new character. I'm very excited. I have an alliance character now instead of just a horde character.
Oh, yes.
Sorry, who's that? Get out of here.
I have a few different characters in the works. Joel and I were talking about playing Worgens, but we're not really sure where we're going to start them off. I'm also going... I wanted to... do something that wasn't DPS. I wanted to try either tanking or healing, and actually I'm going to do both. The one I've been working on right now is a Draenei Shaman healer, and the one I'm going to start is a Gnome Warrior, and that's going to be over on... I can't remember the name of the server, but I kind of have friends all over the place on all different servers, so I'm trying to start a character on each server to play with them. Mm-hmm. So I have a horde character that I have to start as well that I haven't decided what I'm going to do yet, but that's to play with Bobbert and Rick.
Ooh. Yeah, and I'm working my way. I'm going to actually probably resub. I think my idea was a couple weeks before Mists of Pandaria and whatnot, just to get reacquainted with the game. And I think the patch, the Mists of Pandaria patch is going to be coming out soon, right?
I believe so, yes.
I think there's a date. I can't remember it, but it's in August, so soon.
Bobbert in the chat room is saying the 29th.
Ah, yes. Awesome. Well, you know what? That's the day I resub. You heard it here first. That's also 5 days after Guild Wars 2 comes out, which I have a quick thing to mention about that after we finish with WoW Talk.
I played yesterday and today. I started up my character kind of late afternoon yesterday, and I played yesterday and last night and then some more today, and I've got her almost to level 11. It's actually really, really easy. Well, leveling is very quick now, but really, really hard to level a healer by yourself. I'm dying a lot. Because it's like I don't do a lot of damage, so, and I have to heal myself, but then my healing spells have a cooldown, right? So I'm like trying to run away and be like, no, stop hitting me. And then I'm just like, heal, run, heal, run.
And this is your Draenei, you said?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, the female Draenei, I mean, this may make me sound weird, but the male Draenei looks so weird and the female Draenei looks much better. Do you find that?
I find she looks from the back.
This is going weird.
Pretty much the same as my blood elf, because they're both tall, thin female characters, right? The only differences are, my blood elf has big pointy ears, and then my Draenei character has, horns. I'm sorry, I'm laughing in the chat room.
I know.
So bad. I shouldn't be reading this, but...
You said big, pointy, and then finished. You said finished with ears, and I think the chat room got a little excited there. It's like, oh, okay, ears, yes.
Yes. So, yes, big, pointy ears, and my Draenei has horns, so they look fairly similar, except that my Draenei is blue, and my blood elf is obviously skin-colored, and then... her feet are like cloven, right? So she looks a little bit different than the blood elf, but not that much. I mean, like when she's wearing, because you start off in like robes, right? Because you're a shaman, so you can't even see your feet. So she looks from the back pretty much exactly like my blood elf. And I was kind of like, oh, well, I kind of wanted a different WoW experience. But it's with the whole like alien crash landing thing, like I know that their crystals and their magic and everything else, but just like the whole crash landing starting, I was kind of like, I don't know if I like this. But the more I've got into it, it's kind of moved away from the whole like, oh my god, you're from outer space thing, and more into what I would say would be like more traditional WoW lore kind of stuff. So I'm enjoying it more now that I've leveled up a bit. And I just got, I hit level 10, and then you unlock a whole bunch of stuff and you get to pick your specialty. So I got to move away a little bit from the straight up healing, and I unlocked a couple more offensive spells. So it's going to be easier for me to level by myself. But I'm looking forward to getting at least one character up to 85 before Mists of Pandaria comes out, because I really want to play all that stuff at the same time everyone else is experiencing it. And I'm sure that I'm not going to play enough for everybody. And, you know, there's going to be people playing every night and trying to finish the content as fast as possible. So, you know, obviously they're not going to want to play with me anyway, but, I was actually talking to a friend this afternoon who's going to come onto the show when Mists of Pandaria launches. Ooh. That announcement is coming later on in the show, but I was talking to him this afternoon and I was like telling him, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting so into WoW and I'm doing this. I start a new character. And he's like, oh, what level are you? I'm like, well, my main character is like level 35. And then I just started a new character and she's like almost level 11. He's like, oh my God, I'm never raiding with you. I was like, oh.
Well, I mean, it's actually funny. I was talking to a friend of mine who used to play WoW with me a lot, and occasionally, like every expansion, we buy it and then we burn out. So I sent him a text and said, "Hey, I pre-ordered Mists of Pandaria. You should do the same. We can roll together and kind of try and stick it out, you know." And he's like, "You sick bastard! Why in God's name would you text me that? You know exactly what happens." And I felt really bad. And I said, "Well, what about Guild Wars 2?"
Can somebody please MMO with me?
Yeah, I'm so desperate. But no, I'm looking forward to jumping back in. I've really been getting an itch, and I finally have some free time. Ooh, sounds delicious. Free time coming my way. So I'm really looking forward to playing, and I think I'm going to do what you're planning on doing. But I have a little easier. I have a level 80. Try to get him through the Kata content.
Cheater.
That's not cheating. I've played for 5 years. I rolled that guy in BC, which would have been like,
oh, okay. I was gonna say, don't they give you a level 80, or you have the choice of leveling one of your existing characters to 80, right? Something like that,
right? I don't know if I do have the scroll, so at the very least you'll get,
you better still have the scroll. I want my goddamn mount.
You'll get your mount. I don't know. I think in the fine print, there's like a limit. There's like a time limit on those bonuses. No. Sorry. Calm, Blue Ocean. My bonuses, not yours. I looked into it. You get your mount. But I might not get my 80, my boost to 80 and server transfer. I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
But you should get your mount. And if not, it's Blizzard's fault.
I'm pretty sure if I don't, you owe me a mount, mister.
Probably.
There's got to be ways to gift mounts.
There is. It's called $25. Ugh. All right. But no, I that's great that you're getting back into it. I'm excited for our announcement. But just quickly, Guild Wars 2. Well, I don't want to steal.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, like I said, I mentioned my buddy. I said, well, what about Guild Wars 2? And it's sort of snowballed from there. I got some other buddies starting, and early access starts on Saturday at 3 a.m, which is great. So I'm rolling with a bunch of buddies, and I believe Swick is going to join us as well. So if anybody has a head start for Guild Wars 2, I'm going to start a post in the forum and we'll try to get us all on the same server. I don't know anything about the server setups or factions or whatever, so
I'm going to stop you there for a second. Mm-hmm. Guild Wars 2, I haven't been following it that closely other than to see that everyone is super excited about it. So is it free to play? Like if I buy Guild Wars 2, then that's it? There's no monthly subscription?
Exactly. If you, and this is why I had no problem purchasing it. If you buy it, it's $60 and no subscription. You're able to access the content that you get with Guild Wars 2 forever. And if you purchase before, you can still go to their website and make the full pre-purchase and get early access, for this weekend. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I bought it is because WoW comes out a month after and it's a subscription free game. So if I want to still play an MMO, but have a different experience, like combat and quest and even look experience, because this is a 2012 game. Mm-hmm. It's going to look far better than WoW. I mean, WoW is beautiful, but this is going to be...
It's all right.
Well, I mean, yeah, in its own way, it's... Everything's beautiful, but you know what I mean. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and we'll start some posts in the forum, and I'll keep the community up to date on where we'll be playing and how we're doing. Obviously, we'll update on the show as well, so look forward to that.
Sounds good to me. So that brings us to quickfire news. Lord of the Rings Lego game gets some details released. The latest offering from the Lego franchise spans the entire Lord of the Rings trilogy, allows you to control over 80 characters, and will allow you to switch from storyline to storyline. A list of characters and their abilities can be found on That Video Game blog, which includes some of our favorite characters like Aragorn, who has the ability to uncover and follow the tracks of friends and foes alike. The Lego Lord of the Rings video game is slated for release this year on October 30th. There is also a rumor floating around on theonering.net that a pre-order bonus will be an Elrond Lego action figurine exclusive to the Collector's Edition pre-order. So stay tuned.
Final Wii U details to be announced September 13th. Nintendo will hold a press event in New York City, which will be hosted by Nintendo of America president Reggie Fils-Aimé. The invite sent to press invited them to learn more about how the Wii U will change the future of gaming and entertainment. Those are Nintendo's words, Jocelyn, not mine. many news outlets are predicting we'll get a North American release date, price, and a confirmation on some launch day titles. Here's hoping Nintendo comes out swinging with this info, because so far they haven't really proved that the Wii U is the next big thing.
This next story comes to us via Rick Piven on Twitter. The Legend of Zelda book is coming to North America. Hyrule Historia, the book that is known as the Zelda Bible, that was previously only available in Japanese, is being released in North America just after the holidays in late January 2013. This book is 272 pages of awesome Zelda art, history, and the hotly debated official timeline of the Zelda franchise. Demand for the book is so high that it unseated 50 Shades of Crap at the top of Amazon.com's bestseller list. Although it didn't last long at the top, the fact that pre-orders for a book that it will not be available for 5 months is a chronicle of a fictional video game world is encouraging for both Dark Horse Comics and the world in general. Pre-order your copy today. The list price is $34.99, but it was listed at $20.99 as of this afternoon on Amazon.
Plants vs. Zombies 2 announced. Don't have a green thumb? Well, don't you worry, because by late spring 2013, you'll be too busy with PvZ2 to even think about watering real plants. No platform was confirmed for the sequel, however, PopCap promises a bevy of new features, settings, and situations designed to delight the franchise's tens of millions of fans around the world. In related but very sad news, it seems the creator of Plants vs. Zombies, George Fan, was reportedly let go during a recent layoffs at PopCap. Very sad to hear, but I'm sure he'll land on his feet.
Get ready for Mists of Pandaria. We have a deal for you today, folks. Between now and, well, I guess we don't technically have a deal. We are going to tell you about Blizzard's deal. Between now and August 27th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, you can pick up all of the World of Warcraft for $20. $20! That's insane. The Battle Chest will set you back $5. Wrath of the Lich King is also $5, and Cataclysm will cost you $10. All this is in preparation for the release of Mists of Pandaria, which comes out September 25th. We here at TGI are even more excited about the release of Mists of Pandaria because we are very excited to announce that Mark the Terpster Turpin, co-host of the Instance podcast, will be joining us on the show shortly after the new expansion launches. Follow our Twitter feeds for details about when he will be live here on TGI.
Yay! A sad week in the video games. Well, that was really badly timed. A sad week in the video game industry. It's been a crazy, awful week with news of layoffs coming fast and hard. Mentioned in our PvZ2 story, PopCap let 50 of their North American staff go, and is looking into their Dublin office as well. Co-founder of the company, John Vesci, wrote a long and classy explanation on the situation. Over at Funcom, there have been reports that over 50% of staff have been let go to help reduce operational costs while still focusing on all their released games. Next, we move on to Nintendo Land, where Nintendo Power, the once great king of video game magazines, is shutting down after 24 years of operation. Nintendo chose not to renew their contract with Future Publishing, and the final issue will be for December 2012. Finally, we go across the pond to Wipeout developer Studio Liverpool, where Sony has decided to completely shut down operations after the company had been in operation for 28 years. A lot of talented people are attached to these stories, and here at Gamers Inn, we wish them the best of luck in their future endeavors.
EA says it's standing up for the industry in its epic battle with Zynga. As we covered last week, EA is suing Zynga, saying that The Ville is a blatant copy of The Sims Social. EA COO Peter Moore told Eurogamer Gamescom that the team, quote, the team that created The Sims Social created things out of their own heads based on The Sims. You take years to do that. When you see somebody, quite frankly, taking months replicating what you've done, you're upset. We were upset. We were upset for Maxis, end quote. Maxis is the game studio responsible for creation of both the SimCity and the Sims franchises. Moore went on to say, quote, we also feel from an industry perspective that a number of these things have happened before related to Zynga, but there's never been a company that has the wherewithal and the resources to take it to the next level. We do, end quote. As a Lord of the Rings geek, I, for one, loved this exchange. Following the news of the lawsuit, Nimblebit tweeted, quote-unquote, you have my sword. The official EA Twitter page replied, quote-unquote, you have our shield. I love that.
That's awesome.
I know, right? Nimblebit, makers of Tiny Tower, made similar accusations against Zynga and its game Dream Heights. Zynga has denied any wrongdoing in all cases, of course.
Project Copernicus was going to be free to play. Kurt Schilling has slowly been revealing tidbits of information about his MMO that is now stuck in limbo. Speaking to the Boston magazine, the plan was for the MMO to be free to play with plenty of revenue being generated from in-game microtransactions. Schilling claimed the model for the game would have shocked the world, and that they were going to be the first AAA, $100 million plus free-to-play microtransaction-based MMO. While originally hating the idea of free-to-play, Schilling did a complete 180 when he was convinced it was the best idea for the game. I really, really hope this game can see the light of day. I mean, for the gamers, for the Rhode Island taxpayers, and especially for Kurt Schilling and those who worked on the title. If you're interested in hearing more about the 38 Studios fall from grace, head over to Kurt Schilling's Twitter feed. Especially be sure to check out the responses he's been sending to people. I mean, there's lots of great information in there.
$100 million plus? Like, holy crap. Yeah. Sorry. And I mean, and again, I know this is quick fire and I'm supposed to just go to the next story, but like I don't know how much they've spent on Guild Wars 2, but like, I don't really know how he can say that like they were going to be the first AAA, blah, blah, blah. Like, there's so many titles that are doing this model now. But anyways.
Seriously, just quickly, if you go to his Twitter feed and look at the responses he's sending people, he's being very frank and very open about what has gone wrong and why this game can still be a great thing for the MMO market. I mean, you definitely should check those out. Mm-hmm.
Kinect drops to $110 in North America. Microsoft's Major Nelson has announced a permanent price drop of the Kinect in North America from $149.99 to $109.99. Those of you in Europe and Japan are out of luck. There's no price drop for you. Copperdome on Twitter brought up a very interesting point, which was my first thought as well. If they're going to go that far, why not take the extra $10 off and hit the $99 price point? That would make much more sense from a psychological marketing perspective. Oh well, for now, we'll take the $40 in savings. Heck, I might even pick one up just for the voice control.
OnLive gets split in two. Mysterious buyer revealed. Late last week, it looked like OnLive was in a bit of hot water, and we finally got news on who exactly got them out. Venture capitalist group Lauder Partners, LLC, helmed by longtime tech investor Gary Lauder, is the group behind OnLive's new incarnation. The new company has made offers to almost half of the original staff, which was at 200 during its height, and half of which were laid off last week when OnLive declared bankruptcy. The company made sure to state that users should see no change in the OnLive game or desktop services, and that all of their purchases remain intact and available. That's exactly what we want to hear, especially since this scenario was one of our fears when we covered OnLive a few weeks back.
Which brings us to our topic of the week, which is a somewhat controversial, somewhat has been covered before on the show, but we thought it would be better to do it all in one topic instead of just having me going off on rants every once in a while. So we are going to be talking about girlfriend mode or casual sexism and objectifying of women in video games.
Just do it all in one show.
It's just all in one. This won't take too long, right? I mean...
No.
Who really cares what chicks think anyway?
Oh. See, no matter what, you can make those jokes, but if I make those jokes, I'm a sexist pig. I mean, exactly. That's not fair.
It's totally fair.
First of all.
There's, like, years of oppression or some shit.
It's like reverse racism. It's not fair. Well, not reverse racism. It's like, you can't call us that. Only we can call each other that. We're taking the power back.
Exactly, yeah, something like that. Wow. So basically what happened was, okay, so John Hemingway, the lead designer of Borderlands 2, made the comment that the easiest game mode in Borderlands 2 was called girlfriend mode. So, there's been a little bit of outrage. Not too much outrage. I was kind of surprised at first because I didn't even know what was going on. I just saw a couple of people, one of the hosts of Ladies of Leet, talking about it on Twitter. And I found it kind of odd that I hadn't seen it. Like, it wasn't all over the news. Like, I have a whole feed, like a list of gaming news sources, and I didn't see it anywhere. And I was like, what is this? I thought it was a joke that she was making. And I was like, okay, very funny, Kimmy, but, like, what is girlfriend mode? And so then, like, she obviously filled me in, and I was just like, are you kidding? First of all, come on. Second of all, where's all the coverage? So, I don't know, Ryan, what did you think about this whole situation?
This term has come up before, and basically it's in this specific incident, it's referring to lead designer of Borderlands 2, John Hemingway, who said that, like you said, the easiest...
I heard this.
Oh, sorry. Man, totally spaced out there. I apologize. Anyways, won't happen again. Hopefully. I think this is blown out of proportion. I think the reason you haven't found a lot of news on it is because... It was a big explosion, but then was really quickly over with. Randy Pitchford, the actual either head of Gearbox or president, whatever, he came out and said this was more a personal anecdote in terms
See,
of...
See, now, that isn't really, like, that's not what I've heard. Basically, what I've heard is they call, like, officially it's called Best Friends Forever mode, which, I mean, that doesn't even make sense. And basically what he's done is he refers to it as girlfriend mode internally, so in his little boys club of a company, and then that's how he refers to it in the press.
Well, and that's not fair what you said there, a boys club. There are plenty of women who, and Randy has said this on Twitter, there are plenty of women at work at Gearbox, and most, if not all of them, could kick John Hemingway's ass at any game. So it's not a boys club. I didn't see any...
Like, I really don't think that they... Well, okay. I, as a girl gamer, originally found girlfriend mode funny. When I first heard about it, I made the joke that it should actually be called boyfriend mode because, you know, between the two of us, I'm just going to leave it at that. But the point is, I found it funny. What I found offensive about the whole thing is what John Hemingway said to defend himself is that he called it girlfriend mode for lack of a better term. It's like, no. The whole game industry has a better term for it. It's called easy. Like,
yeah, easy or like, and I agree. While girlfriend mode directly applies to me in the sense that my girlfriend is not a gamer, so I can technically say, yeah, girlfriend mode, great. Not that my girlfriend would ever play a shooter. I mean, let's start a little lower. I mean, Super Mario Galaxy comes to mind. Not lower. Again, people get offended by things that other people say without actually thinking for a second. Because let's think. And again, you bring up points that sort of dictate that this guy may...
I think this guy is a jerk. But I think that in general, I agree with you.
Yeah.
A lot of people get way... over the top crazy about objectifying women in video games, about the place of women in the workplace and everything else, because I have said this many times. I am very much a best person for the job, and I don't think that anyone of any race, orientation, anything, whatever, should get any kind of leg up over the competition just because they are of a different race or a different sex or whatever. I think that it should just be level playing field, period, and best person wins.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a handicap bonus, right? For people who, back in the day...
Wait, are you calling being a woman a handicap? Because...
Now you're putting words in my mouth. Back in the day, if you played a sports game or, a points-based game, you would be able to set a handicap.
Right.
Personal sort of example being Smash Brothers. You could give a handicap to your... Like, some of my younger brothers sucked at Smash Brothers. And, smack-talking would be one way of dealing with it. Another way... or combination of both, would be to give them extra lives, a handicap, right? Mm-hmm. That was the initial way of dealing with it. Now, these days, you probably can't call it a handicap or whatever,
well,
some
exactly.
sort of politically incorrect thing. I mean, words shift in and out of this weird realm. Yeah. So, I mean, now it should be called, like you say, easy or non-gamer mode or...
Right.
But I mean, girlfriend mode, it's a marketing term. I mean, I remember first hearing it when, Icon Master said, we posted this in the forums, and Icon Master said that, Starbit helper option in Super Mario Galaxy, the press, and I didn't find any examples, but I believe Nintendo was actually referring to it as girlfriend mode. Mm-hmm. And that was,
This is the first time that I've heard the term girlfriend mode. But, I mean, in the last 2 years, I've gone from being strictly, this game is on the shelf now, so I'm going to buy it and play the crap out of it, to paying more attention to industry news and game development and, more of the pre-release stuff. I wasn't really paying attention to that too much, previous to a couple of years ago. So I can kind of see how, for me, this seems like, wow, this guy is a really big douche, and I kind of hate him because, what a jerk. You're the lead on a project on a huge, really popular follow-up to a franchise that was very successful, and you're making comments like this? Come on. Mm-hmm. Just, you're talking to the press. This is how you're presenting yourself in your game. This isn't some joke that somebody leaked out of the office,
Yeah, it sucks that there's evidence out there that they've been referring to this internally as girlfriend mode. I mean, but I don't know. I'm not really easily offended, and maybe that's because, being a white, this may be controversial, I don't know, but it's what comes to mind, a white male. I'm not really, the only persecution I got would have been maybe being a nerd in high school and slightly overweight, I suppose. So... people get made fun of all the time, but I've never been, nowadays, I'm an adult and things don't really bother me very much. So when I see something like this, it's easy for me to kind of brush it off. But then again, I'm not the target of this term. And I don't think when it was originally came up with, it was meant as an attack. But I can definitely see it as condescending. People shouldn't see... I'm not apologizing. I'm Sales Geek is excusing me of having to go on an apology tour. But I find that you need to come up with a better term. And just calling it girlfriend mode may work on specific cases. But in this sense, you're right. To the press, is going to take that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people read that. So like me, I wasn't offended because it works for me specifically. I have a girlfriend who doesn't play games.
Mm-hmm.
For you... it should have been boyfriend mode. You have a boyfriend that doesn't play games, but it's
right.
You need a more generic term.
Significant other mode, and then be like the mode for those who are maybe our significant others, but we haven't really defined ourselves yet. So I don't know what to call us mode.
Okay, and this is Gearbox, right? They're pretty creative and funny guys. They try to be funny. They try to encourage humor in all of their advertising, their gameplay, and whatnot. So why not call it newbie mode or something?
Right.
That's not it's funny, it's game related, and it's not hurting anybody but the people who are noobs, and nobody likes noobs, right? I don't have to apologize for that, right?
No, you don't have to apologize.
Good.
For that.
Newbie mode. There you go, Gearbox. You can hire me as your PR rep.
Exactly. It seems like such an easy fix. And I mean, I'm sure they didn't think that they were going to take so much flack over this. And like I said, they haven't really taken that much. I mean, I've seen a few strongly worded articles, but it's kind of the same regardless of what the topic, or like regardless of the offense or the offender, it just basically seems like there are some people who take something like this and just go off on a crazy feminist rant. And that's all well and good, but that's pretty much like all I've seen is the extremists being like, oh, one word, I'm going to write a 10-page article on it, you know? So,
yeah. Well,
like
I mean,
like I said, there hasn't been that, the reactions to this haven't been that extreme. Most of that I've seen have just been joking, or like I say, some people aren't even mentioning it at all. So what I wanted to ask you is, do you think that it means that we're moving towards accepting attitudes like this in video games with, like, you know, the objectifying women, the sexism and all of that? Or do you think that people in video games, pundits and podcasters and media, are they just writing people off who talk like this and just be like, well, yeah, you're a moron, so you're just not worth our time anymore? Like, we've been through this so many times, especially it seems like lately. Do you think that it's just like, well, we've been through this, you guys are dumb, like, we're moving on now?
Yeah, and the article we originally linked for the basis of this topic was very middle ground, covered, didn't go into the extreme, sort of covered what happened, and then basically said what we've been talking about, that this is a mistake. You know, it's not Gearbox's fault. This term needs to die. We need a better term for things. It describes certain scenarios, but not all of them, because gamers are both male and female, and female gamers exist, and they are a high majority now, as opposed to maybe...
And they can have both girlfriends and boyfriends.
Yes, we're very progressive. I mean, it has nothing to do with... And even, like, if you look at Randy Pitchford in the news, he tweets like he needs a PR assistant. I mean, he's just constantly tweeting about stuff, and he made some really valid points, and you guys should look them up. But I think the best example of the game industry moving forward is Tomb Raider, Lara Croft. Like, you look at Lara Croft when it originally came out 15 years ago, a big-breasted British woman. And then you look at it now, and it's a more tamed-down version. I mean, it's still a strong female character, especially the newest one. You know, there's no, you know, there's, she doesn't have giant breasts. She's just a normal human being, right? So I think that kind of illustrates the progression, and I think... we need to kind of ignore the extremes. Like, I'm not saying what this John dude did was all right. He was a little misguided. He probably should have came up with a better term, or, you know, always be aware of the trolls of the internet, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, like, I think we're moving forward.
That does kind of bring up a good point about how objectifying women in video games is kind of different than sexism in both, like, the play, like, player to player, and, you know, like, PR to players, and, you know, all of that. I think that it's really two separate issues, and some things I have more of a problem with than others. Like, I don't have a problem with objectifying women in video games. I think it's fine. Women are hot. Like, it doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm actually gonna read my quote out of the notes, because I think it's fun. But girls are hot, boobs are fun and bouncy. So enjoy, like, we are fun to look at.
Yeah.
So I don't really.
I mean, I shouldn't say anything. Ryan did not make a comment. It's funny. I read that, and instantly, what came to mind? It's like, yeah. I mean, girls have boobs. Some men have boobs. They're fun. I mean, they're out there.
Well, exactly. And
all hail boobs for president.
I don't find that. You know, women with teeny tiny little waists and really big boobs in video games, they don't affect the way that I look at myself. It's like there's a huge difference between, like, a cartoon video game chick character and the model on the cover of Vogue. Because it's like, she's real. She's a person. Like, that bothers me more than this little bouncy animated chick dude. Chick dude?
Chick
dude.
No,
what
kind
of video games am I playing? Like,
kind of just ruined it.
Boobs with chick girl, chick dudes. Like,
well, I mean, then there is the other extreme. You know, there could be chick dudes where it's this super, like, Conan chick. They exist.
True.
Have you ever watched the Olympics with weightlifting? They're out there.
That's so true. So, yeah, like I said, I think it's two separate issues, and I think that this definitely, like, they're being lumped together whenever something happens, which I think is kind of the reason that we're seeing more examples of quote-unquote sexism in gaming, and I think it's because they're kind of lumping these things together. So any little thing that pops up, because there's so many more women being gamers now and so many more women talking about it, I think we're hearing about it more, but I don't necessarily think it's happening more. I think it's actually probably happening less, but it's just like, every little thing that happens is just like kaboom, blogs and Twitter posts and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So,
well, I think the reason it explodes is because you have these very highly publicized events where one of the most recent ones is that is that derogatory? That woman who did the Kickstarter on Tropes or whatever, and a bunch of people just basically lambasted her on the internet and like,
I don't see anything wrong with what she's doing. I know that she's like, I mean, I can't remember the name of her website, but it's feminist something, which generally I don't support, I guess is the right word. Anyways, it's not my thing. I don't agree with, like I said, putting one group above another for any reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't understand the problem that anyone has with her saying, here are a whole bunch of characters, and here are the categories they fit in, and I'm going to make a movie about that.
Hmm.
And it's like, you know, she's talking about games all the way from 30 years ago to now. Like, it's this whole big, huge range of characters. She's going to talk about them all and how they were used in the games that they were used in. And I don't see a problem with that because, like, the games put them in there. The games wrote the story and the dialogue and drew the concept art and created the animation. So all she's doing is putting content together that already exists. So I don't know, like, I couldn't believe the kind of flack she was taking over that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, I think it probably just has to do with her choice of topic and the name of her website blog.
Yeah, and I think she is an example. I don't think she's an extremist, but she is playing on the extremist level. Like, you know, this, you got to be careful. Like, I don't hate women.
No, I know what you're saying.
I like women.
I don't hate women.
I love women. I'm currently living with one, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. So, you know, I think you gotta avoid the word feminist. It's one of those terms that were necessary during a time when women's rights weren't as fair. You know, they weren't equal. So when you still use feminist to this day, it's like, it's still like, it's like it feels like you're playing catch up, right? Like, oh, I still have to call ourselves feminists because, you know, men had it so good for so long. And again, I'm not saying anything about women, but it just seems weird. It's like a poor choice of words, I think. I don't think you need to be a feminist in this day of age. You just got to ignore the idiots, because there's a lot of ignorant people out there, but there's also a lot of intelligent people like us and our listeners who embrace female gamers. And I mean, you know, I've like I was saying, I was playing video games with Ashley's younger sister, and we're playing this sort of falls under the boobs are fun thing. I shouldn't have said that right after that. Anyways, I was playing Rayman.
Really on a roll today, man. I know. That's why I'm not interrupting you.
We were playing Rayman Origins, and it's an E for Everyone game, and it's a co-op platformer. I'm playing with Ashley's younger sister, who's 15. And there's a point in the game where you have to rescue these fairies. And the fairies are trapped in these cages. And then finally, at the end of the level, you bust her out of the cage. And then she, like, emerges from the cage all slow-mo. And she's got, like, these cartoon bouncy, you know, bouncy boobs, right? And, you know, they're exposed to a sense that, you know, like, they're popping out. And she just turns to me and she says, and this is a 15-year-old, it's like, you know, why do the fairies have such big tits? And I'm like, what? And then Ashley, who's on the computer at the time, looks over at the TV and is like, yeah, Ryan, why do they have such big tits? And I'm like,
this is all your fault, Ryan.
I'm sorry. Woman power? I don't know. Like, I didn't make the game. It was the French. Blame Greg.
Blame the French.
Actually, not Greg. I guess it would be Montreal. No. Yeah. Blame the French. It's from France. So I kind of got out of that by blaming France. I mean, the British have been doing it forever, so.
Yeah, sort of works. We should just jump on that bandwagon.
Yeah, but anyways, it was funny because it's like, it's to me, I expect it as a gamer and playing a lot of games. It doesn't faze me. Similar to what you said, it doesn't faze you. It's just a design choice.
Yeah,
Like, you mentioned Terra specifically here in your notes. Like, that's filled with big, exposed boobs. It's a Korean game. I mean,
yeah,
that's their thing. So, and I don't judge. I think whatever.
I find stuff like Terra, I find funny because, like, their, like, heavy armor choices is just basically, like, two little pieces of metal covering the nipples. And I'm like, huh. I should, like, to me, armor should be, like, there's a nipple-sized hole that you should be aiming for, not aim anywhere but, you know?
Well, Jocelyn, I mean, that's where a Korean holds most of its power.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the nipple.
Good thing they're covered up, then.
Hmm. Or else you'd have a world of hurt on your hands.
Before we go too far off on this tangent, I think I'm just going to wrap up this conversation. With a point that Lou made in his forum post, because we did ask everybody to go to the forums today and sound off on what you think about girlfriend mode. And one of the points that Lou made, I think, is very important. And he says, I know a few months back there was some controversy over the new Tomb Raider game, which is one that we discussed in our 15 minutes or so here. I thought that while some of the video footage seemed a bit harsh with implied rape, it was not a finished product and people blew it way out of proportion. Just look at the art style changes they've done since the old days of Tomb Raider, which is also a point that you made there, Ryan. Lara is not the scantily clad object male fantasy that she once was. Strong female leads are great, but sometimes, and this is the really big point that I wanted to make, a hero or heroine needs to seem fragile or vulnerable. It is just an aspect of good storytelling. Hmm. I completely 100% agree with that. You can't just have superheroes all the time in every story. It's boring. So, yeah, I think Lou really hit the nail on the head with that. So that brings us to listener feedback, unless you want to dig some more holes, Ryan, because that was actually quite entertaining.
I've been digging holes. I mean, I've just been telling like it is, Jocelyn. I was just going to say that personally, I actually would love to see more games where female heroines are like the main character. One just got announced, Remember Me. It's you play a female character in Future Paris. It looks really cool. And I actually look forward to playing games where a female is the main character. And there's just not enough of it. And there's nothing like a badass woman.
You get to watch her bounce around from behind, right? I'm on to you.
No. See, and that's the problem is that, and I know you're joking, but that's the problem.
We should make that perfectly clear. I'm kidding.
we're all like those type of comments, totally kidding. But that is part of the problem because a lot of people think that. Like they say, oh, you just want to play as a girl because you want to stare at her ass for 40 hours. I'm like, well, no, it's a different way to play a game. Like, sometimes it's boring. Like, when I play Mass Effect, as soon as I finish, like, I want to play again, but sort of from the female perspective, right? Like, that's interesting.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm looking forward to more games like that.
All right, so, yes, let's move forward to listener feedback, where we actually have another giveaway. We're not going to give it away this week. I think this one we actually might give, what, do you say a week or 2 weeks for this one?
Well, I'd say because the Mr. Pandora, or sorry, the, damn it, the game is coming out soon. You might want to give away the beta key probably in the next week.
Yes. Okay. So
totally screwed that up. I'm sorry, Greg.
You did. You totally ruined my surprise. So we have a Mists of Pandaria beta key to give away, courtesy of I Am French Boy in the chat rooms and on Twitter, Greg from France. And so because Greg is from France, he wants you to say something in French to qualify for the beta key. So we want you to send us an email at info@gamersinpodcast.com with an MP3 of you saying something fun in French. So send it in to us. We will play them on the show. And then we are going to use a random number generator to figure out who wins because we are not going to judge you based on how good or bad your French is.
Oh, but I should mention, though, that we should definitely get Greg to check for Google Translator thingies. Because they can tell. I work with French-speaking people, and they can tell when you're using Google Translate. So
well,
do your best.
Okay, though. I think if someone types something into Google Translate to find out how to say it in French, like, I don't know, something like, hey, I love the Gamers Inn, and I love Blizzard, so give me Mists of Pandaria, or something like that. If you can say that in French, good for you, Google Translate or not. I don't care.
Wait, are we getting people to record these?
Yes, and they have to send us a recording of them saying something in French.
Mm, I like it. All right.
Anything.
Let's do it.
And it doesn't matter if you already speak French. That's what I say. You can be horrible or you can be fluent. Doesn't matter. You'll still be entered.
Yeah.
So remember to send those to us before next week, and we will be posting about it on our forums. We will be posting about it on Twitter. And good luck to everyone who enters. So that brings us to our forums, which we got to post a story from Bobbert, who has had a great idea that we should be sharing our favorite Halo moments. So I don't actually have favorite Halo moments because I'm playing everything, as everyone knows, just for the road to Halo 4. So I haven't played anything. So I have no nostalgia or anything else. But Ryan does.
Yes, I do. Am I sharing it right now? I mean, I was going to say that I posted in the forums, actually, that I played a lot of these games, and I have moments, and I sort of been sharing, you know, keeping them for the show, and I'll probably do the same with Halo 2, just to have some nostalgia there.
Perfect.
Yeah,
well,
but
Halo 2 is actually our topic of the week for next week, which I totally forgot about until this afternoon. And then I was trying to figure out doing our show notes and doing our topic for next week. And then I was like, uh-oh, August 22nd. Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, we have to play Halo 2 and finish it for next week. And then we will be doing our game review as part of our Road to Halo 4. So Bobbert has shared the moment with us. And he says, quote, Back when I was super into Halo 3 multiplayer with all my cool friends, we took our gaming seriously. I remember playing and getting my first and only Killtacular on Big Team Game. On a Big Team Game? I don't know.
Big Team Game is a playlist.
Oh, okay.
Lingo, Jocelyn, you wouldn't get it.
I'm sorry. I was so excited I stopped playing and just jumped up from pure nerd joy. Nothing sounded better than Rampage Killtacular. I have no idea if that's how it actually sounded, but I mean, it got me pretty excited.
If I had the drop in handy, I'd play Killtacular, but I think that's probably what he was fishing for. Sorry, Bob.
All right, so that does it for us this week on The Gamers Inn. You can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. You can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you will find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheGamersInn, and we're also on Google+. So don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan of StarCrossed Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Joel Duggan or read his comic at StarCrossedOnline.com, where there is a fancy announcement if you go check his blog. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember to stay tuned next week. Oh man, the chat room was on fire tonight. Look at the chat room. Oh my god. You're so easy.
You're a mean person. You know that?
Oh my god, I actually can't stand up anymore. Oh my god, I'm actually crying right now.
Well, that's good. I'm glad I can be of assistance to you people. I didn't mean you people. Oh god. What is it? This is sexism right here, guys. They're teaming up on me. Jocelyn, you have all these people. They're coming after me.
They're my minions.
I'm not sexist.